Well, let me just say, welcome back, Miss Stu. Happy early Friday to you.
Oh, happy early Friday.
Oh, that sigh was concerted. Are you okay?
Baby, I need this Friday. Actually, you know what? I always just overdo it. I'm in a good mood. But yeah, I feel like I'm ready for this Friday because I've got a massage scheduled for tomorrow and I'm just looking forward to that.
Oh my God, a massage and a cut and color. Are you kidding me?
Well, cut and colors on Saturday.
Oh, okay. Well, this week. I mean, you're going to have a pamper week.
Yeah. I'm having a whole pamper week.
You deserve it. Oh, yay.
Yeah.
What kind of massage are you doing? Are you doing a Swedish massage or like deep tissue? What's up?
No, I think it's just, I've been to her before and it's just kind of like an all over, almost an all over rub down.
I was like, you've got a bad track record the last couple of episodes.
I'm like, I cannot keep opening like this. No, it's
like, got it. All over rub down for Miss Stu coming right up.
It's the Miss Stu special.
I'll take the Miss Stu special. Bye.
Oh my God. No, you know, I feel like I need a recommendation from you in the future of like what
from
I
me?
Should do.
Who am I? Like, am I a spa director? Well, I don't know.
I feel like you get, I mean, don't you go get massages?
I do. I like indulge in services. I do get massages fairly often. I like getting facials. I really love a facial.
That's right. Okay. You really like a facial. Yeah.
I will say, hi, creepers, by the way. I promise we're going to jump into the case, but I will say, because if Jen's listening, she loves the story. Jen and I went to... what was it? The Peninsula Spa. It's a hotel in Beverly Hills to get massages. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to try a massage that I've never really tried before, which is a hot stone massage. I was like, I've never done that. I always go for like a sports massage or like deep tissue. So I got a hot stone massage. I can't say I would recommend it. Not because it was like uncomfortable or unpleasurable, but the woman who was doing it, she seemed really experienced. She must have been, but she kept dropping those stones. Did I tell you this?
No.
Because like she had like a heater where she would like heat up the stones. But every single time without fail, there's like this quiet, calming music playing. It's like some pipes. It's like, ooh. And then you just hear the crash of like 15 rocks shatter on the floor. This must have happened at least four different times. And every single time she was like, whoops, whoopsie. Oh,
do you think like, they were just too hot in her hands or something?
I don't know, but pick them up with a towel. I don't know. But then that's the thing. Once they hit the floor, she was like, let's just get those up. And then I was like, I think those went straight on my back. Oh my God. I think they just went straight on my back.
Hot, dirty stone massage.
Yeah. Like picked up some like fuzz and hair off the floor, some like boot dirt. And she was like, and let's just take a deep breath in. And she's massaging these stones into my back. And I mean, it was fine, but I can't say I'd recommend. Anyway, back to Creep Time, the podcast. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody.
Hi, creepers.
I do have to say, the creepers have been in full force recently because, Stu, the suggestions that are coming in, I can't think of a time previously where we've had so many case suggestions coming in at once from like all different angles. Reddit, yeah. Private messages, Facebook, Instagram, like emails. It's constant and I love it. I absolutely love it, but it's definitely overwhelming for us. We're like, which one do we pick? Because here's the thing, the creepers, when they suggest cases, they've really thought it through. They're like, yeah. Oh, this is a perfect case for you guys to cover. And I read it and I'm like, that is a perfect case for us to cover. But in the mix of all of the overwhelming cases, I stumbled upon one. I don't think this was suggested by a creeper, but I really wanted to bring this to you because it's kind of a classic Creep Time episode in the sense that it is technically unsolved and we're going to have theories. It is the story of the missing boy, Kyren Horman, which I would be surprised if you'd heard about. I haven't heard about this story.
I have not. Missing boy. I honestly just got like a flashback to Boy in the Box.
I guess we really haven't covered, we don't usually cover cases with like children, but specifically little boys, I guess. The only ones that I think of for like little girls, we've done Aisha Degree, we've done Morgan Nick. I guess Michaela Bali was a little girl. I mean, she was
John
like 14. John Benet, of course. Yeah. But yeah, I guess this kind of made me think of Boy in the Box too.
There's something just like way more loaded when it comes to like children in unsolved cases. So I'm going to gird my loins and get ready for this, because something about these really sends me.
There is something very, very ominous about it. And I think it's, if I had to guess, I think the subtext of it is that we could assume in a lot of these cases that the parents are suspects, mm-hmm. which is why I think it inherently feels very dark.
Yeah.
That's the softest. Yeah.
I'm like, whoo, I had creepers. I told Silas before we started recording that where I'm recording, I'm down visiting my parents. It's super ominous and spooky weather. So I just imagined like the shift in the like literal wind outside of my window. So
I was going to say, I was like, you asked for this. You were like, it's very spooky outside. You were like, I am ready to get into a case today. And I was like, boy, oh boy, do I have one for you. So I will just say before we get into it, thank you again, everybody, for stopping by Creep Time, the podcast. We have an episode every Friday, as many of you know. But when this episode comes out, I guess we're going to be like 2 or 3 days out from the pre-sale. So Stu and I will say before we hit 4/16, when the Creep Time Live pre-sale starts, please make sure that you get your pre-sale code. You can do so by going down in the description. You can sign up for the newsletter. It takes less than 20 seconds, babies. And for a limited time right now, if you sign up for the newsletter, you will get 15% off Creep Time merch in the merch shop. How's that?
Bam.
15%. Bam.
Bam. The Lisa
15%
Rinna,
off a hoodie. I'll take it.
She lives in you. I'm telling you. Bad easy payments.
God, I'm going to start doing ads for Klarna any second. So Afterpay. There is a little bit of like QVC in me. I feel it at all times.
I mean, I feel it in me. I've been practicing walking people through the colors forever.
And which one's your favorite? The magenta is really just cute. It's cute.
Well, you know, creepers, I swear we're going to get into the case, but that's my favorite part about any QVC or HSN spiel is that whenever the host needs to fill time, take him back through the colors. He just goes straight back through the colors.
You know, they have a training program at QVC. Like they have like an in-house training program for on-camera hosts, because I was almost a part of it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, when I worked at that company, that startup, and I was like in charge of their marketing. I was a marketing lead there, and we were trying to sell the product on QVC. We were pitching QVC, and then QVC was like, well, you know, it's really great if we have a spokesperson from the company as like on-camera talent, like with our other hosts. And we're like, oh God, we'll have to hire somebody. And they were like, no, I mean, we'll take you. You'd be great for it. I was almost on national television selling on QVC.
I would,
and I know that in a deep part of you, you're like, how can we go back and make that happen? Like,
creepers, we will bring Creep Time merch to QVC. Mark my words.
Oh, I would absolutely go on QVC with you just for the bit to sell Creep Time merch. That's totally plausible. So, anyway, back on track. Like I said, 15% off Creep Time merch if you sign up for the newsletter for a limited time. It's right down in the description, or you can go to creeptime.com/giveaways. Do not miss out ahead of 4/16, because we want to see you guys at the live show. We want to meet you. So with that said, let me talk to you a little bit about this case. I guess I'll just give you and everybody a top line to the story. So this is 2010. It takes place in Portland, Oregon. There was a 7-year-old boy named Tyron Harmon. He attended his school science fair, which he was brought to by his stepmother, Terry. She claims that she left the school after walking him in. She walked him through the science fair. It was located in the gymnasium. And then she departed the school sometime around 8:45 a.m. that morning. She said that she knew that he was under the supervision of teachers. He was in a safe area. He was inside the school. But somehow, he seemed to disappear. An immediate search would commence, and eventually a full-blown criminal investigation to find out what really happened to that 7-year-old at school that day, but nothing ever turned up. More than a decade has passed, and he has been a missing child. And today, we are going to deep dive moment by moment into what actually went down that morning and who saw what. Any initial reactions to that?
I was not expecting 2010. I don't know why. I mean, clearly because I had Boy in the Box in my mind, but whoa.
Pretty recent.
So recent. And to think that a child could, you know, with everything that's really changed, unfortunately, with like, you know, school shootings and safety at elementary schools, I'm just shocked that that could happen. In this day and age,
it is kind of startling. I mean, you would think like there's security camera footage or there's something that can like tie this all together where you're like, we must be able to like get something out of the school. But it's kind of shocking. There's like no footage, really no witnesses. And it's like unexplainable. But I should, let me send you actually, before we get into like the backstory and everything, I'm just going to send you a picture of the school. I think this is really specific. This school is not a normal elementary school. It's like in the middle of, not the woods, but like kinda. Here, let me send it to you. So, I'm like, where's Riverside? Where's the chat?
And I'm sorry, where are we again? Location?
We're in Portland.
Portland. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Oh, wow. Yeah, very remote.
Super. Like, it's, I've never seen an elementary school like that. That's just like in the middle of like land.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty small, it's the red roofed building in the middle.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's like out in the countryside. Creepers, it's like, and
it's
there's
pretty remote,
lots
yeah.
of like trees around, but like almost like a long, one long road that kind of takes you down. I mean, there's only so many other little properties that surround it. It's kind of isolated.
And isolated, but also wooded is the thing.
Yes.
It's like, wooded. It would seem like if someone went off the premises, they could easily be lost into like the forest very quickly. Mm-hmm. So we are going to deep dive into this story. I'll go through everything that I know, everything that I researched. But before I do, I know that we said welcome back, but let's go through some of the top line of the creep time business. Thank you again for stopping by. Please make sure to stick around for the shows week after week. Turn on the bell notification, follow and subscribe to the show because we don't want you to miss episodes. We would also appreciate a rating. And you know that we appreciate that word of mouth, babies, because it helps the show so much. Whether you tell your friends, your family, or you comment about Creep Time online, that is so, so important to us. And we are so grateful for you.
Yeah, we love and you guys that, so much.
And we love you guys so much.
And we love you guys so much.
It's going to be me at the meet and greet. I love you so much.
Yeah, seriously.
Just full on Liza Minnelli. All right, Stu, are you prepared?
I'm ready.
So let's first go through a little bit of the backstory on Kyren. Actually, let me send you some pictures of him. Hold on. I've got some pulled up. And by the way, creepers, I am going to have all of this, like all of the visuals up on Reddit, pictures of Kyren, pictures of the family, the school. So if you want visual context while you're listening, you want to follow through with that, or follow along rather, I will have that available. What's creepy about these pictures is that some of these were actually taken the day he vanished.
And they're of him?
They're of him.
God.
Because this was science fair day and he had a science project.
Oh, little sweetie. Oh, creepers. He's so cute. He's got like a CSI t-shirt on. Little project on tree frogs. Oh God, that's really
his
heartbreaking.
Really big glasses too. He has he had abnormally poor eyesight for a child.
Okay.
Let's see, sending you a few more.
Sweet.
And then this picture I'll send you. I think it's the last one. This is him with his dad, Kane.
Oh. My gosh. Oh, he looks like such a happy child. Yeah, he looks really happy.
He was described as a happy child. He was described as really smart, and he was so excited for this day, like so excited. Because what you're seeing in the first picture I sent you, the tree frogs display, that's his. He built that.
Oh my gosh. Well, isn't that, I'm looking at that little diorama, the shoebox diorama. Remember when we had to do those?
Absolutely.
Oh, God. Okay. It's painting a picture for me of like how monumental those days would feel in school. So.
Absolutely.
Very bizarre that this would happen.
he wanted to get there early. He was intent on getting there early. But also, when we think about it in the context of like a lot of traffic in and out of the school, there were a lot of parents and like chaperones who were coming in and out to view the science projects that morning, which I think, I mean, we're going to go through some of the theories, but in theory, could have given way to some people being in that building who should not have been. Mm-hmm. That's just one theory. So let's first go through some of the backstory so I can give you a little bit of the foundation of who Kyren was and a little bit of this family dynamic. So Kyren Horman, he was born September 9th, 2002, right in Portland. He was born to Desiree Young and Kane Horman. And Kane was an engineer at the time for Intel. Now, the couple, this is a bit unconventional. They were married, I think prior to Kyren's conception, but then before he was born, Kane and Desiree, they actually split up, these two parents. I can give you, let me get you a picture of her and him as well. But I thought that was a little unconventional that she was about like 8 months pregnant when they decided to divorce.
Oh, wow. That is very
odd. You don't hear that very often, but it, I mean, they were citing irreconcilable differences. So they just, I think it was kind of a clean divorce. They were like, we're not compatible people. This is not going to work with us together. I mean, despite us being, you know, in a position where we're about to like bring a life into our home, but they were just awarded shared custody. So that's sort of how he was raised for the first few years of his life. And they also hired help at the time as well.
Well, based on this picture, I guess it looks like they came together. I'm sure you'll get to it, but that they seem to have a good relationship.
They did. Even, I mean, they certainly bonded, of course, over the mutual disappearance of their son. Now, I think for a while, this is also interesting because they had shared custody while he was a newborn. But then I think Desiree, she actually came down with kidney failure. So she would need extensive medical treatments that would be ongoing to manage this. And because of that, it made more sense that Kyren was going to be with his dad full time. Just logistic things here. So where does it go from there? I literally lost my place in the research. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, baby. We are not so live.
I was like, I'm keeping this in, girl. I was like, so where does it go from there? Completely scrolls to the top of the page. So, like I said, she's experiencing kidney failure. So he's mostly going to be with his father from, I think, 2004 on. Now, during that time, Kane, the father, he actually started seeing another woman. It was a woman who was familiar to the family. Her name was Terry. Him and Terry have a bit of I don't want to say nefarious history, but they have a not so great history. I think while him and Desiree were still together, him and Terry, this woman, were having an affair. But I don't think Desiree knew that because Terry was eventually, after they divorced and, you know, Kyren was born, Terry was hired as like live-in help, which then, you know, obviously transitioned into like, oh, she's my girlfriend now. And then eventually they go on to marry by 2007 and they have their own child. So Terry had known Kane since 2001 prior to Kyren being born. And then once he is born, she's there to help raise him. She is a substitute teacher and she was also a bodybuilder at the time. Actually, let me get you a picture of that, creepers. If you're not on Reddit, go to Reddit to look at this photo too. It's kind of wild.
Oh, wow. The new girlfriend was the bodybuilder. Because the new
Desiree girlfriend also is the bodybuilder.
Good shape from the photo you sent me.
Let's see. I'll send this to you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like a proper bodybuilder.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating dynamic in this family.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at, right? By 2008, they end up having another child together. It's their daughter, Kiara. So the family looks less than conventional on the outside, but from everybody who knew them, they were pretty normal. And these kids were pretty well adjusted. I mean, Kiara is like really young, but at this point, when all of this goes down, I think Kyren is like 7 years old. He's in second grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then we're going to shift into what exactly happened on June 4th, 2010. But before I do you have any initial comments or questions about the dynamic?
Well, I guess the only thing I could say is that anytime, you know, somebody gets remarried or there's a new entry point for new people to come into Kyren's life, you know, through this new marriage. So that's kind of where my first thought was, and not to like put any sort of, you know, throw any stones at the new wife or anything like that, but just that's from a logistical standpoint. I'm like, okay, what has shifted here? What has changed in his environment? And that's for sure one big change. But as long as the parents right. are, it's amicable, then that's probably okay. But that's just kind of my first hot take.
I was trying to imagine like what it must have been like for him growing up, because I mean, actually, like, she was a part, like, in the picture from the time that he was a newborn, because the parents divorced before he was even born. So it sounds like, I mean, he must have grown up with her as like the predominant female figure in his life, probably more than his biological mother, because she was going through kidney failure treatments, probably dialysis. And this woman, I mean, Terry, was like a consistent person in the household all those years. So he right. probably knew nothing else.
Yeah. I guess I would just wonder, like, through all of that, if his biological mom felt like she wished that she was with him more, or like if there was any sort of not, well, yes, jealousy, you know, over like, oh, this new person tension. Is in his life. Yeah. And yeah, the tension, that's a perfect word for it.
I mean, tension, we would learn much later from some stuff that gets uncovered. Tension certainly was building, because I think this wasn't the only child in the mix. Terry herself had another child, I believe, from a previous marriage, who was also living in the home. He was an older kid. So come like 2007, 2008, tensions are running high with that kid in the home. And by 2010, I think that he's like kicked out of the house, not from Terry, but from Kane, which sets the stage for a whole host of other theories about why Terry may or may not be involved with what happened to Kyren.
Okay.
So where are we at? June 4th, 2010. Kyren is 7 years old. Like I said, he's a second grader. And despite this was like pretty much the end of the school year. It's June. He was ecstatic, absolutely ecstatic to go to school this morning, because he had the science fair, right? So he was going to be going to Skyline Elementary School that morning to see everybody else's projects. They were all going to be set up in the gym. Now, we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but just to further paint the picture of Skyline Elementary School, because it's technically, if you look at it on paper, it technically is in Portland. However, it's actually right outside of it on the map. Like, it's right over the line. It's in a very unconventional location, which I know I said before, it's kind of like shrouded in trees, but that just seemed odd to me. And that also seemed like a recipe for disaster in a weird way, to have mm-hmm. children, especially children who have recess and stuff outside, in such a remote location, like a non-residential location.
Yeah, I was trying to see from that photo if there were, it doesn't look like there's any real fencing either towards the woods.
I'm telling you, it's a very weird like elementary school setup.
Yeah.
But Kyren lived like very close to it. I think his home was only like 2 miles away. So it would make sense. Like, if there's any elementary school he's going to go to, it's going to be this one.
Mm-hmm.
So he would normally take the bus to school, even in second grade, just 2 miles away. But on this particular day, his stepmom opted to drive him, because, again, he has the whole science project he has to set up. So she's like, well, I'm going to bring you. I'm going to help you set it up and, like, you know, walk you around the gym. So he has this, like, trifold poster. You saw the whole thing mm-hmm. on one of his favorite subjects, which was tree frogs. Very cute. Mm-hmm. By 8 a.m. that morning, it sounds like Terry, the stepmom, and Kiara, baby girl, she's in the car seat, and Kyren, they all got into the car and they arrived at the school maybe like 5 minutes after 8, so they could load everything in. So Terry brought them both in, and she helped him set up his project at his station. Witnesses that morning, they remembered seeing all three of them, Terry, Kyren, and little sister Kiara. This was sometime between 8 a.m. to 8:45. Everything seemed normal. Now, 45 minutes in, things pass, and Terry is kind of walking around with Kyren. They've seen everybody's projects, and she's saying, you know, I've got to head out for today, but, you know, class is going to be starting soon. Are you okay to go to your classroom? These are her words. This is what she said. And Kyren said yes. She watched him walk down the hallway, and she said goodbye to him from a distance. He turned around, and he waved back. And then Terry turned and she left the school with Kiara. this was the last time that she ever saw him. But again, I have to reiterate and paint this picture clearly. He's in the school, in the school hallway, among other kids, among adults. Like, he's in theory, a secure place, walking to class, because class starts at, like, I think 9 on the dot. But obviously, mm-hmm. you remember, like, elementary school, you just get to your class early and, like, sit at your desk. Within minutes from that moment, his second grade class would start, and his teacher marked him as absent. He never made it to the classroom. So how do we explain that scenario?
What? Okay,
Isn't that wild?
Insane. Because, okay, imagine, like, remember when we were little kids, like, the hustle and bustle of getting to your class. There's, like, teachers that are standing in the hallway being like, all right, everybody get into your rooms, get into your mm-hmm. rooms. Like, the idea that he just vanished in that, like, 15-minute period is mind-boggling to me.
It seems so unexplainable. My immediate thought, if we're completely believing the story that Terry told, I'm like, well, if there's a lot of adults in there, maybe there could be an adult who was, like, preying on kids. And it would be so easy to go up to a kid and say, oh, you have to come with me to the office because you left something at home or something, like grab a kid by the hand kind of thing and disarm them. That was my immediate thought, because I can't imagine that he would willingly go with any other adult anywhere in that building unless he thought it was, like, for a reason, you know, like he left something, or like his mom needs him up at the front or near the office, or if he thought it was a teacher.
Something's off, though, because he's so mm-hmm. excited to be there that day that, like, I feel like he would have just kind of rushed right to the, you know, classroom or where, like, he seems so pumped for that day at school. So, like, the idea that he would just willingly kind of, you know, wander off seems kind of counterintuitive to me to begin with.
I really can't imagine. I mean, most people who have looked at the case, even his family, they were like, we can't imagine that it was, like, a scenario where he, on, like, of his own volition, took off. Like, it just wouldn't make sense. And in fact, we'll get into this a little bit later, one of his biggest fears was actually being lost or mm-hmm. being in a place where he wasn't supposed to be and not being able to get back to home base.
Can I just ask one clarifying question? When the photo you sent me...
Could you imagine if I was like, no?
No. If you said, no, baby, I'm going to press on, I'd say, okay.
Yes, of course. Ask a question.
You're like, there's a Q&A session at the end of the presentation.
Please hold all questions to the end of the dissertation.
So the photo you sent me where he's with his mm-hmm. Presentation on tree frogs, yes. That's like before this happens, obviously?
That's the morning. That's literally between 8 a.m. to 8:45 that morning.
So he went in, set it up, somebody snapped his photo with it.
Terry, the mom.
Terry, and then they were going to go, the bell was going to ring and he was going to go to class.
Yeah, because you would, like, you know how, like, you would set up your science projects in like a separate beforehand. Part of the school? We used to do them in the cafeteria, and then you would leave them there all day because at different, like, periods during the day, different classes would get to go down and, like, look at them. So that's kind of what happened. So I'll keep going. I'll keep pressing on here for what comes next in the timeline. So Terry's statements to police would indicate that after leaving the school at 8:45 a.m., this is how I'm going to run through what Terry's recollection is of the events, like what happened after she left the school, because we want to know, where did you go, Terry? What were you up to? She goes after 8:45 a.m. to run a couple of errands. She went to two different Fred Meyer grocery stores because she was going to pick up a prescription for her daughter, which I think she originally went to the wrong pharmacy, like the wrong store, which is why she ended up having to go to two separate ones. All of that seems to check out until about 10:10 a.m. Between 10:10 a.m. to 11:39 a.m., she stated that she was driving around with her daughter because her 2-year-old had an earache, and she said the motion of the car kind of helped to soothe her toddler's earache. But in reality, we actually don't have any records of where Terry was. It's like it's a weird gap in time where she hasn't given a concrete answer as to what exactly she did. She was like, I was driving around. And everyone's like, well, where were you driving around? She says, I don't really remember. I was just driving. That seems a little off to me.
For sure.
Yeah, odd. I don't. So we've got a big chunk of time basically 10 a.m. to 11:40 a.m., where she doesn't remember where she was. Then the next time stamp that we have from her is that eventually I think she gets to the gym. She goes to the gym where she drops off the two-year-old at the child care center in there, and then she works out for a little bit. And then I think she heads home by 1:21 p.m. She got back and she immediately logged onto Facebook and she posted some of the pictures that she took of Kyren at the science fair onto Facebook. So that happens. The next timestamp we have is 3:30 p.m. because I think around this time, it was like around between 1 to 3, Kane, the father, he actually came home early from work and he would like finish working from home because he wanted to be there to like see Kyren when he got home and ask about the science fair. So 3:30 p.m. rolls around. Kane is there. Terry's there. And they walked out with their daughter, Kiara, to the bus stop, hoping to, you know, meet Kyren getting off of the bus. The bus driver stopped the bus and he told them, he was like, are you waiting for Kyren or something? He said, Kyren never got on the bus. And Kane kind of starts to look around. And he's a little bewildered. He's like, what are you talking about? And Terry didn't really have anything to say. She was like, that doesn't make any sense. He was dropped off at school. And the bus driver says, you need to call the school right now and figure out where he's at. So they immediately call the school. They get in touch with the secretary there. And as far as anybody knew at school that day, Kyren was absent for all of his classes. So it was actually the secretary who realized in real time when the parents were like, what do you mean he was absent for all of his classes? The secretary literally didn't even finish the conversation. She starts calling 911. Something's wrong here. There is one little detail here, which is a little fuzzy in the research. Apparently, so you would normally think in most cases, especially in 2010, if a student, a child is absent, you're going to get a confirmation call to the home. You know, like if, especially if like the school doesn't know that they're going to be absent, the school's going to say, hi, we just wanted to check in because Kyren wasn't at school today. That call never came. Why did that call never come? Because the secretaries had a note from Terry, which said that Kyren was going to be absent for a doctor's appointment on that day. There was no such doctor's appointment that was set for that day. So it's become a question now at this point in the case. Was it simply a miscommunication, or is there something else to this story that we're not seeing?
I mean, listen, I'm not going to paint Terry out some way just
yet.
Baby,
if you don't talk that shit right now, I need you to
spill. When there is smoke, there is freaking fire. And let me tell you the first thing that I thought, who the hell is driving around for an hour and 40 minutes just burning gas?
Okay, well, on a personal note, that is me every Sunday. I'm so sorry, I hate to say it. Maybe that's one of my favorite things to do.
But I mean, if you're that's expensive. If you're driving around,
I'm not in my Toyota Prius, baby. I'm kidding. Sorry.
I know. But you've got three kids. Like,
yes.
You know, there's no world in which I think most parents are going to be like, let me just drive. Listen, and I understand like the soothingness of the earache or soothing lotion for the earache. But certainly wasting gas for an hour and 40 minutes is a little hard for me to believe just for the soothing.
Could be. I mean, I should also say this was not a family that was impoverished by any means. I mean, Kane is an engineer at Intel and they were wealthy enough to the point that they had a home gardener and I think other staff. So I don't think money was something that was factoring into the equation, whether or not this is a true account of what happened, where she's like, I was just driving around. I was soothing the toddler, you know, because it sounds like she didn't really work. So her days were just kind of open. So it's certainly possible. It just seems improbable to me is what I would say.
Yeah, I think it's that and the posting the photo on Facebook.
A ton, for some like reason, a whole group of photos, a ton of photos.
Yeah, that's it's very strange with me because it's like, I don't know. I kind of know what you mean though.
Yeah, she's like setting the stage for like, yes, good parent did the good thing. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. It feels a little performative to be perfectly honest.
Took the word right out of my mouth. You snatched it out. So the next phase of this, we're going to get into the immediate search efforts for Chiron. So the search efforts were extensive and I think primarily focused on a 2-mile radius surrounding the elementary school, which actually at this point, let me just send you a few other photos of that school. I know I sent you one, but I'm going to send you one that's a bit closer so you can really see what the grounds look like and just describe what you're seeing.
Okay. Well, I mean, to me, what I see in this photo is that there's a lot of open space for somebody to either like get out fast or take somebody or hide or take somebody out into the woods fast. Like, I mean, but what's kind of interesting about it is it's almost set up like a fort. Like it's like got the four walls. So if you did take him around the corner, it's not like the layout of it is kind of like, I don't think you'd really, you'd be able to hide, like you said.
Well, it kind of sounds like they had the whole, if it was somebody who took him, it sounds like they had the whole day to do it because the last time anybody saw him was 9 a.m. or right around 9 a.m. And then before anybody actually notices he's missing, it's 3:30. So a whole day has gone by.
That's just so bizarre to me, especially just like in an elementary school setting. I feel like teachers are, I'd be curious to know how many, and maybe, I don't think you touched on this in the top line, but how many kids went to the school? Because it looks relatively small.
It looks really small. I actually don't know. I meant to search that. I remember writing it down. It was like, I was looking at these pictures and I was like, how many kids can fit in that building? But
yeah,
I don't think it was so small that it would have been wildly noticeable, you know, in like the rush of like kids and parents that like one kid was getting pulled away. And I actually don't know. I mean, I can't say this set it in stone, but I actually don't know if that happened based also, on all the evidence that would come to light with Terry.
How about this too is the taking of attendance.
What about
I feel like everybody in elementary school, most teachers take attendance at the very beginning of class. How did they go all day long?
Well, they did. They did. He was marked absent. Yeah, he was marked absent. Okay.
But nobody thought that was odd?
No, he was marked absent, but then they call, the protocol is they call into the secretary, and the reason the secretary didn't call home, she was like, oh, we have a note here that he has a doctor's appointment for today.
Okay, see, that to me is just like, how convenient.
Yeah, well, what they did dig up was he had a doctor's appointment set for the following week, I think on the same day of the week, like a Monday, but I mean, we could say like it was a mix-up maybe and like they just got it scheduled wrong or like at least the note was left for the wrong week, but it did seem like shockingly convenient. I was like, okay, the day he goes missing is just the one day that there happens to be no call home to the parents. Peculiar.
Yeah. And sorry, and I'll let you keep going, but the other odd thing, if I'm like one of his teachers and I take kids down and I see, oh, this is Chiron's presentation at the science fair, how do I not put two and two together that like his presentation is here but he isn't? How did it get here?
I don't know. Maybe when you don't suspect the worst, you just like, I'm playing devil's advocate, I'm like, maybe you just assume, you like fill in the blanks. You're like, well, maybe his mom dropped it off because he wanted it to be here for the week and like he's going to be here tomorrow. Because I think the plan was, there was some weird thing about like how his mom wanted to take the presentation home that morning. I don't know why. Like she, for some reason, she thought like the presentation period would only last between like 8 to 9 a.m. But the teachers were like, no, the presentations stay here like pretty much all week. So the kids can like routinely go down and like look and like read about things. And she was irritated by that for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm going to bite my tongue.
I was like, not for long. Not for long. So I'll get back into these search efforts here. Like I said, 2-mile radius around Skyline Elementary School. And then I think the Southie Island, which was approximately 6 miles away, was also searched. And the reason this was searched was pretty interesting because they would tap the phone records of Terry because her story is already looking a little fuzzy. They found that her phone pinged within that window where she's like, well, I don't really remember where I was driving. Her phone pinged all the way over there. And what was shocking about it was there's only one way to get to this place and you have to cross a bridge. They reviewed the camera footage. They did not see her truck cross the bridge, which I thought was strange. So we could explain that by saying it could have been a technical glitch where the cell signal somehow got bounced over and pinged in a place where it wasn't. Or we could say she was in a different car.
I got one eyebrow raised right now.
I was going to say, I was like, I can just sense you from the other side of this. You're like, baby, like, something smells like shit.
I mean, listen, if she is not involved in this, man, oh man, does everything not bode well for her in this whole explanation. Because I it just feel really like bad. It does it not looks really look bad good for her.
Terry.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, let's first like get into like, so once the parents like come to the conclusion, they're like, oh, he's missing Desiree, the biological mother. She instantaneously is suspicious that he was abducted by someone. She's like, this is not a scenario where he left school on his own. She knew about his fears. He had a big fear of being lost and that he couldn't find home base. And he had really bad eyesight. She was like, there is no scenario where he walked off on his own. And what also chilled her was that the school found his coat and his backpack were still inside the school. But again, no witnesses. Nobody seemed to see him after 8:45 a.m. that morning. So the search ends up going down in the state's history as, I think, one of the largest that was ever conducted in Portland at the time, like specifically in this region of the state. And it concluded after 9 days with zero evidence of where Kyren went. This is a 7-year-old boy who is just gone. Not even canines could track him. So this would lead into the next phase of the investigation, the criminal inquiry into our lead suspect, Terry the stepmom. I had it in my notes to pause here and check in with you, but should I keep going?
Keep going, because okay. I'm itching to hear how she came back swinging, because this is really,
I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, Stu.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have theories towards the end here that like show alternate versions of what could have happened outside of Terry, because Terry eventually has her own theory about what happened.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
I'm giving you the Watcher vibes right now.
No. I'm on your side. I'm not playing devil's advocate to be like, it could have been something else. I'm like, girl, it's Terry.
I know. Allegedly, but Terry. I'm like, girl, get out of this, like, guilty before proven innocent vibe. But you know, sometimes when I just get that feeling, I like can't let it go, and I'm having that feeling right now.
I know it should be that it really doesn't look good for her, but I'll get into a little bit more of what they dig up, because believe it or not, it gets even more damning for this woman. So Terry was, of course, she was the last person to see Kyren the morning that he vanished, but that's not enough to paint her as the clear suspect. It's just like, it's circumstantial evidence. So everyone thus far from all sides of the family, they seem to cooperate really well, Terry included, because they were all believing at this point that there was a third party who probably abducted this child. So they're all thinking it's not Terry just yet. They're like, it could have been like a predator in the school, until a series of polygraph tests are taken. There were polygraphs that were given to both of Kyren's biological parents, so Cain and Desiree, as well as Desiree's then husband, so technically Kyren's stepfather. Mm-hmm. They all passed the polygraph tests. The only person who didn't was Terry. So we should first say polygraphs are not foolproof, which is why they can't hold up in court. They do have high fail rates. But after she failed the initial one, they offered her to take it again. She failed it a second time. Mm-hmm. So this led into an inquest of her background to see, okay, are there some like odd, like recent communications maybe we should know about? They ended up seizing her computer, her tech, and they recovered an email from her inbox where she had detailed some stuff that wasn't really known about her marriage. She was struggling in her marriage with Cain pretty bad, and she had a deep, deep resentment because her older son, as I mentioned earlier, was kicked out of the house just a couple of months prior to Kyren going missing. So Cain basically had told Terry's son, you got to move out of the house, kicked him out, things weren't working. Terry resented him for it, and she also detailed in these private emails to friends how she believed Kyren was at the root of her problems in her marriage. Then, 3 weeks after this investigation kicked off, Cain, the father, who, you know, had already been like kind of on the fence, suspecting that something had been going on with Terry, He wasn't privy to this information just yet. He gets called in privately with investigators. He thinks it's going to be about Terry and possibly being connected to Kyren. What they found out while digging through her tech was something much darker than what anyone else anticipated. Investigators had uncovered some information that led them to believe that Terry had hired the family gardener to plot to kill her husband for a large sum of money. I know.
Oh.
It's not looking good.
Remember that thing I said at the beginning? I was like, I don't want to throw any stones.
You also said where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Oh,
now,
my God.
I think at this point, though, in the investigation, it's just an allegation. Again, somehow it's like, so I think it was the gardener who like approached them and he was like, she tried to proposition me to like kill her husband because he knew like something was going down right now with Kyren being missing. So investigators, they're basically trying to like catch her in the act. So this is crazy what they did. They got an undercover cop to wear a wire and show up like at Terry's door and basically say that he was a friend of the gardener. And he said that, you know, he knew that she was looking to get a job done and he just wanted to offer his services to be like, you know, if you want something done for cheaper, I'm willing to do it for cheap. But Terry, being a little too smart for her own good, she kind of sniffed that like something was going on here. So she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm calling 911, which makes her look better. And also doesn't, I mean, we can't prove that she actually tried to proposition the previous gardener to do this. Right. So it just becomes like his word against hers. And also there's a language barrier. Like he really didn't speak English very well and she did not speak Spanish at all. So it just became like a logistical thing of like how difficult this would be to prove. But that is certainly enough evidence for the family to come to a consensus. They're like, Terry cannot be trusted. So she's got to be behind the kidnapping. So Kane kicks her out of the house and basically files a restraining order against her and gets full custody of their 2-year-old daughter. And he doesn't trust her. He thinks that she's the one behind Kyren's disappearance, which you could imagine. I mean, it seems plausible at this point, no?
Well, she 100%. Seems unhinged. The thing that I keep thinking is that Kyren is the only child in all of this that she is not a biological mother to. And like, what better way to get back at her husband that she's having problems with than to do exactly something to his child.
And you know what was interesting about the timing of this? I didn't even clock this, but she does have a 2-year-old at this point. So what Kane started to believe was that she could have been suffering from postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. She was pretty young and I think she had just weaned off of breastfeeding. But again, these are it's so much circumstantial evidence. I think the one thing that kind of hit me the hardest was her fuzzy memory, because Desiree, the biological mother of Kyren, she's like, this is ridiculous. She was like, I can tell you, this is an exact quote from her, actually. I'll paraphrase it a little bit. But she goes, I can remember everything about the day that Kyren went missing. I can tell you what I ate that day. I can tell you where I went. But this woman can't remember where she was for several hours. There's something wrong with that. I mean, you can do with that what you will.
Preach it 100%, girl.
Preach it.
that was the first thing you said that I was like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Like 10 a.m. to 11:40, you don't know where you were. It's fuzzy. Like that it's just fuzzy to me. But yet you go to the gym.
Yes. Goes
and
to the
you
gym.
Remember
I mean,
all
that's
that.
The thing. All of her story that like you could clock it on camera, like the grocery store, the pharmacy stuff, the gym, like all of that checked out. But we have that window where we can't explain it. But Stu, there's even more here. You're going to lose your mind at this because this runs deep with this woman.
Oh, God.
So where we're at is that everybody suspects Terry. She's suspect number one. But don't forget at this point, Kane has already filed for divorce. He's got the daughter and he filed for a restraining order to protect him and his family from her. Someone comes out of the woodwork with a claim that this is not the first time Terry has been caught in a murder for hire plot, which I was like, my jaw almost hit the glass table when I saw that. I was like, are you joking? So there's a story that comes from 1990. It surfaces from an ex-boyfriend. His name was Sean Rea. He was seeing Terry at the time. They were really young. They were like both around like 18 years old. I think they had been having like some problems in their relationship. And I'm like, well, they're 18. Like who wouldn't? Allegedly, there was one incident at the park where he was sitting on a bench with Terry. A man came out of the bushes with a gun and pointed it at Sean. And he said, in that moment, Terry was like, he's here, he's here, he's here for you. And then the gunman, like, chickened out and basically ran off. Like, he panicked and ran, fell through on the job. And Sean said that he was just standing there, bewildered, looking at Terry, and she was, like, gobsmacked, like she didn't know what to do. He said, I could never prove it, that it was a murder for hire plot, but, like, I cut Terry out of my life that day.
Yeah.
That's pretty damning.
I mean, here's all that we need to know. Bad things follow this woman if they're really not, like, if she's not involved at all. There's a hell of a lot of bad things that have been on her track record and following her, it would appear.
Oh, I agree. It's just the problem is like, it's everything up until this point. It's all damning, but it's damning in, like, the court of public opinion. Like, this is all circumstantial evidence, and we can't prove that she's the one behind this. So it looks bad for Terry. None of it is really credible enough. So technically, we have zero evidence because we don't even have a body, so we can't even prove that this was a kidnapping and murder. Kyren is just a missing kid. Although it still looks like she's guilty. But then I dug up another detail on Terry that I thought you would find interesting. So I think there are a couple of pieces of connecting evidence here to suggest that Terry did not act alone, which in part could maybe explain why her truck was never seen on that camera crossing that bridge, yet her phone pinged in that area. Terry had a friend in this area at the time. Her name was Dee Dee Spicer. She was very, very close with this woman. Now, what raised some eyebrows in the investigation is that they went digging into Terry's friends, her circle, to see, like, maybe if, you know, what were they doing on that day, the day that Kyren went missing. Dee Dee was doing some gardening work for a client nearby in the area. The client claimed that she abruptly left at 11:30 a.m. and did not return for more than an hour and could not explain where she went. She was like, I just had to run out. Couldn't explain where she went. This fell right within the window right after, I guess technically, Terry said that there's like an hour and a half where Terry's like, I don't remember where I was. And that was up until like 11:39, 11:40. It was 11:30 when all of a sudden Dee Dee had to run out and do something for an hour. Could it be connected? We don't really know. Can't really say, but something gets a little strange with this woman. I think Terry went to go stay with her after the restraining order, the divorce and everything with Kane. Investigators realized that Dee Dee had purchased burner phones for her and Terry because Dee Dee was sure the police were going to tap their cells. And she also lawyered up. So she was within her rights to do that. Like, you can get a burner phone, I guess, legally, but it's not a great look.
Nothing spells innocent like a burner phone.
Absolutely. Yeah, for you and the woman who's suspected of kidnapping and disposing of a child. I'm like, you people are nuts.
Right.
You're actually insane.
Yeah. Like, if if you have nothing to hide.
But Stu, this runs even deeper, if you can believe it, because this is just like, okay, that looks like a very odd connection. There is more to potentially back this up. I said before there were no witnesses. There were actually a couple who saw something that might have been connected to Dee Dee and to Terry. A couple of witnesses came forward that on the day Kyren went missing, in the morning, they claimed they saw a white truck on the access road right by Kyren's school, and that there were two women sitting inside. Terry drove a white truck. So what this looked like was that maybe Kyren was dropped off at school alone that morning, but then Terry and this woman then pulled up with the truck again, and Terry went in and got Kyren. How do we, I mean, it's just a witness statement. We can't say for sure if it was these two women together that morning, but it would have been before Dee Dee was out doing her gardening work. And then at a certain point, Dee Dee did have to depart at 11:30 to go do something. And we actually don't even have evidence if the burner phones were purchased before Kyren went missing or after. We just know they were purchased.
But did this witness see them in that, like, kind of 9 a.m., like 8:45 to 9 a.m. block?
Yes. It was the morning.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Because I was going to say, if they saw, if it was closer to, like, the 10 or to the 11:40 window, I'd be like, hold on, how does that work? But, I mean, Sure. I feel like she could have absolutely dropped him off, quote unquote. And then they had the plan that, you know, Dee Dee would be nearby or whatever. She could pick her up and, or maybe even say to Kyren, oh my gosh, sweetie, you know what? Before you go into class, like, let's, there's something back at the truck that we got to go get. And like, Dee Dee's ready and there.
You know what's so eerie about what you're saying?
What?
There's something really eerie about what you just said that I wasn't going to, I mean, I was going to wait till later to bring it up, but I said before, I'm like, there are no witnesses. There is one witness from inside the school who thinks they saw something, but it was a child. And just because it's a child doesn't mean it's not a credible witness. I mean, children can tell when something's serious and when they should be honest and when they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But there was a child who claimed to see through a window right after like the 8:45 period. They said they saw Terry and the baby, the toddler, and Kyren, all three of them, walking out of the school and back towards the truck. That's the only thing we have to go off of.
I mean, I believe it. I honestly, I mean, that. How else would he have gotten... There's no way that he just wandered off into these woods, for sure. I don't believe
that.
Oh,
I don't believe that at all. No, I don't believe that.
But how would he get taken without any red flags going up? It, to me, would make the most sense that it's because it's still in that hustle and bustle of everybody getting to the mm-hmm. classrooms in the morning. And it looks totally normal for the mom to be like, oh, you know what? He just forgot something. Like, we're going to go grab something. Or, oh, Kyren, you know what? We forgot your backpack. Like, you could totally do that and nobody would bat an eye.
Even if you don't know the parents, you're not going to assume someone who's holding a toddler in their left arm is someone who's abducting a child.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely.
You're like, oh, that, of course, that's the caregiver of this child. You just, I mean, what was kind of specific about what this child remembered, this witness, they said they, all three of them were walking together, but she wasn't holding Kyren's hand. That to me felt so specific that a child would remember that, mm-hmm. that I was like, it has to be true. I know that there's no way that I can prove that, but I'm like, when children recount specific details about things that they saw, like very specific details, there really, really is something about that that rings true to me.
Yeah. You know what this whole case is kind of giving me? And that's not the premise of the show, but did you ever watch Big Little Lies?
I never did. No.
Oh, my God. Well, it takes the one of the big kind of plot lines is that they all are intertwined because they're parents at this one school. But there are multiple moments in the show where, or there's one big moment in the show where something happens between the kids, and the kids are all like witnesses, but they're like, they're just as smart as the parents. They're like covering up things that they shouldn't, or they're coming, like they see things, they have to come clean about them later and explain mm-hmm. exactly what they saw. Kids remember things that are odd and strange, like you say. So, I mean, I would definitely take that statement if I were an investigator and be like, let's expand. Let's talk about this more.
Totally. I mean, it just becomes, you don't want to put anything up in courts or like at a trial that can't, that has like a thin frame. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want someone to poke holes in things, and yeah. putting a child on the stand under pressure, that's an easy target for,
right.
for a defense team. I think me as a non-lawyer, like
no,
you don't want to do that in courts. Has never
totally
once
true.
Set foot in a courtroom. Hack City, president
City,
of Hack
maybe.
City,
Hack City.
So
yeah,
just to recap, I mean, where we're at right now, Terry at this point, because she's got a lot of circumstantial evidence against her. She knows it's not enough to hold up in court, and she's lawyered up, and she's got this woman who's also lawyered up. She basically stonewalls the entire investigation by opting to plead the fifth from here on out, which again spells nothing but innocence to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she's kind of riding on this. She's like, if there's no body, there's no case, which is true because the case does effectively go cold. So sadly, this would be the end of the road for a lot of this investigation. And people continue to resurrect this story and talk about Kyren, talk about who might have been involved, how it might have been done. But we really don't have much to go off of here. What I will say to kind of button all of this up before we jump into, you know, talking through some theories and how this might have gone down, Terry, after this, she ends up moving on with her life because she's never, you know, prosecuted, never arrested for anything. She changes her name, or tried to at least several times, which was blocked by a judge because they're like, no, you're in an open investigation and you're a lead suspect in that investigation. You can't change your name. Can't reblend into society. She did manage to find a job, I think, as a caregiver for a while, but she got fired from that once it came to light who she was and what she was being accused of. And according to recent reports that I could find, she lives down in Florida right now. And I think she's been arrested multiple times. One for attempting to steal a gun from a roommate. And then another was her driving a stolen vehicle. She still maintains to this day, and she has even given interviews. She's gone on Dr. Phil to say that she had nothing to do with Kyren's disappearance. She claims that she remembered seeing a white truck near a 7-Eleven that morning, right by the school. And she believes, in her theory, that the truck followed them to the school after seeing Kyren, and that Kyren was most likely abducted from within the building that morning by an adult predator who was following them and waited for the right moment where he was alone. That's where we're at.
I mean, if people really like bought that in the moment, the predator theory, I mean, truly, what predator would go straight into a school in the daytime, right? First thing in the morning.
It's pretty ballsy. I mean, if there's even a sliver of weight to that theory, it just seems like the second that any adult walks into most school settings, any other day of the year, that's not like a science fair or a day when like a lot of adults, like parents, would be trafficking in and out of the school, any other adult would risk being questioned. They would walk into that school and immediately someone would be like, are you here to pick up? Like, what's your name? Like, it's not, doesn't seem like a plan at all. Unless, I mean, there's another way into that, I guess, where it could be an inside job if they had specific knowledge that that day was going to be a heavily trafficked day and they could have just been floating around. I'm playing devil's advocate, even though I have a firm feeling about Terry in this, but I guess if they had prior knowledge, they could certainly stake out early in the morning and kind of blend in, looking like maybe a parent, even if they didn't have a kid with them, I guess. But I mean, the chances of that being true, but also Terry seeing the potential predator in the duplicate truck, the other white truck that morning at 7-Eleven, it's just so wildly far-fetched.
That would be so... Because even so, that person would have to know that school, like the property, well.
Absolutely.
To do it in that 15-minute little window and have nobody notice them. Also, let's also take into account, like, let's say that this was some opportunistic kidnapping. Mm-hmm. You think the guy is going to tail and then, like somehow get away with it and not have Terry see this happen? Like, it's too short of a time. Like, how would he also be pulling out of the same parking lot that she is with her kid? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me how that could ever be
No sense. I mean, even if you could say that, like, he waited an extra minute or something while she drove off, or like maybe her back was turned and like she didn't suspect it, I'm still having a difficult time trying to imagine that Kyren would willingly go with some adult. I mean, I'm assuming it's a man in the scenario, but I suppose it could be a woman too, but would go with an adult they did not know and leave through like a side exit of the school even, or even through the front. It's so hard for me to imagine that this could go off seamlessly and be opportunistic.
My only other thought is that, is there a world where they went in, Dee Dee was with them, like, in the morning, or somehow met them at the school or something, and that she made him go take the photos so that she had the alibi of like dropping him off or whatever, and then said to him, just a reminder, like, Miss Dee Dee's going to come and take you to that doctor's appointment you have today. I have to go run and take the baby back home or something. But that, like, she could have executed some sort of plan where someone was going to like take him right then, like right afterwards, to like the doctors, quote unquote, or whatever. I mean, if there were no witness,
really, really firm to me.
Yeah, because also then she could also claim I didn't do anything, because she just conspired. She didn't actually commit the kidnapping or whatever. But like, that also could check out.
That is so dark to think. I mean, it's dark enough to imagine that this woman could have had a plot to kidnap, and we're assuming kill, this child, but that she was able to find another woman to rope into the conspiracy, if that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy to me. But I'm saying, like, it makes a lot of sense what you're saying. The only thing that throws it off is the child witness, where I'm like, I really believe that child witness, that kid saw Terry, the toddler, and Kyron walking out of the building just before classes started at 9 a.m. I would imagine that, like, it's kind of the first part of what you said, went in, dropped off the science project, like, you know, like, laid the foundation of what the story is going to be. Like, he was dropped off at school. Look, I've got like 10 different pictures of him at the science fair. He was happy. Mm-hmm. Things were normal. And then she was like, well, great. We dropped it off. And she was like, but now we got to go to that doctor's appointment. Don't forget. Walks out with him. It could very well be that Dee Dee was right in the truck. I mean, it seems like, if we're believing the other witness who was like, I saw two women sitting in the front seats of that truck.
Totally.
The question is like, even if so, like, where did they put him? How did, like, did they, I'm imagining, because her phone definitely pinged over that bridge, that 6 miles away, but her car was never seen crossing the bridge. I have to assume that he was transferred to a different car, mm-hmm. Dee Dee's car, and Dee Dee, for some reason, may have had her cell phone. I don't know why.
Had Terry's cell phone?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, if it pinged over the bridge, but we never saw Terry's truck, or unless Terry also went. I mean, I guess that would make more sense if Terry also went into Dee Dee's car and just left her truck somewhere for a second.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. She went and parked the truck somewhere and they got in Dee Dee's car.
To think about whatever might have happened in that area, whatever they might have done with Kyron's body, if that's what went down, that after it was over, Dee Dee just went back to gardening and Terry went to go work out, is so wretched.
We've seen that before, though. My God.
How could we explain the psychotic break behind that? Do you think it could be, like, are there legs to postpartum psychosis or depression that could explain some of this thinking?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't it feel a little like Aunt Diane-y, just in the idea of...
It does,
of, yeah. Yeah.
It does.
But to me, it's not even so much a psychotic break in that it's that she doesn't feel any... First of all, she doesn't feel any, like, biological, I guess, you know, tie to Kyron, as sad as that is. And second, that it's revenge. It's a revenge plot against...
It does feel a little bit like an eye. Yeah, it's an eye for an eye kind of thing. Because, like, you took away my son. You kicked my son out of the house, knowing full well that, like, you're an engineer and I'm not working. So you have the financial power in this situation. But it's like a sick way of her taking back her power to do whatever she did with Kyron. I'm going to send you one more picture of Terry.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I didn't send you any recent ones.
Yeah.
And well, I this is like her just, on Dr. Yeah. Phil.
Okay.
I'm telling you, if Nancy got a hold of this case, sparks would be flying.
So this must be years and years later, this photo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, click the one before it. So she was like a bodybuilder, that was, I think, like 2007. It was before she had her daughter, Kiara.
Okay.
So, yeah, she had physically changed kind of drastically. Like, she was no longer tanning. She wasn't working out the same way that she used to be.
Yeah.
So she looks very different from how she used to.
Way different. Wow. To look at the bodybuilding photo, I mean, obviously, I'm not judging her. To be a bodybuilder is insane, like the dedication it takes, I guess, to do that. And then, but to go. Also, I do think, though, that says something. I think that, like, when you go from being on that, like, high of, like, being a bodybuilder and feeling really good about yourself and performing mm-hmm. and winning awards, and then that all kind of fades away and you become, you know, you're losing some of that, like, not star power, but, like, that the spotlight's not on you anymore. You've got kids, young one that you've just had with somebody that you have an estranged relationship with, one that's not your own, that came from a relationship that you caused to, you know, sort of
disintegrate,
tension and disintegrate. And then your own son from another marriage who you feel like has now gotten the crap end of the stick here, that, like, is getting kicked out and you feel, you know, some sort of way about that. I mean, there's just a lot, like, up against her, as you were saying, though, like, mentally up against her too, that would cause somebody to, like, have this eye for an eye mentality.
I agree. I think my big question in all of it is how, if it was these two women, or even if it was just Terry, how were they able to hide this body so well that after the largest search in the state's history at the time, is no one able to recover a body? Where is Kyren?
Didn't you say the forensic gardener?
Yeah, she is.
I mean, not that a gardener would know how to, you know, bury a body, but I mean, they would certainly know of maybe areas around, like properties that are vast, that are rural.
Yeah. I mean, they searched all the place where the phone pinged as well, 6 miles away. They searched with, like I said, the 2 mile radius around the school, if maybe he had been buried in the woods. But I guess we'll never really know, unless they do find a body, exactly how he was disposed of. But I don't believe to this day that he's alive. I don't believe it's a scenario similar to Timothy Pitson, where mm-hmm. it's possible he was sold off or like given away to a group that might hide him. I don't think that's what happened here.
I don't either.
I told you were in for a case. I really did. I warned you. I told you this was going to be heavy.
I am just shocked that they weren't able to. I mean, it's kind of rare that we see this many things stacked up and not really any other suspects. And they're not able to nail her, or weren't able to nail her.
I mean, there were some people who played the devil's advocate in this, where they said, you know, maybe it really is, or it could have been like a freak accident where maybe he did wander off. Because here's the other thing too, that I had left out. Part of the reason that he was going to have a doctor's appointment was that Kyren was suffering from seizures, where he would sometimes become disoriented or confused at a moment's notice. So although he had this fear that he didn't like to stray away or be lost, It is possible in some scenario that he may have had a small seizure and then became confused or disoriented and kind of walked off from the school right after 8:45. If he did that, some people have said, because it's in such a remote area, that he could have just gone into the tree line very quickly. And then if he kind of came to, or he got lost or kind of fell to the elements, maybe at a certain point, after the whole day had gone on, it's possible animals got to him. But that seems so, so far-fetched for me. It's such as I'm sure it's possible, but such a stretch that like they wouldn't find any evidence of that.
I mean, I don't want to go full Nancy Grace here, but like I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast. I grew up, my older brother suffered from seizures, actually had multiple while we were in school, and you seize up, you don't move, your brain literally kind of stops for a second and you just start to convulse basically, but you're not walking, you're not moving. So
no, but is it possible like when you come out of the seizure you could be like disoriented and confused? Because I think that's what they were describing. I think that was actually going on with Kyren a little bit. They would say that he would walk into rooms, and if he had small seizures or like froze for a little bit, when he finally came to, he was confused about where he was or like what was going on. So part of that was true.
Yeah, maybe. That just seems so crazy that to me, it would make more sense that he would wander off first and then have a seizure. But like the idea,
why would he wander off? Like why, where would he be going?
I don't know. But like I, in all my experiences of watching my brother have seizures, it never after that was he in a capacity to like start walking and wandering off. Like it would always take him like a long time to kind of like come back fully to himself.
I should also say there are some people online who said that it's possible it could have been a freak accident where he went into a part of the school and like fell between like a hidden crevice or something, or like I don't know what people were trying to describe, but I kind of debunked that myself because I found people online who actually went to the school. And they said that that was like nearly impossible. It's a small school. There really aren't very many like secret passageways or like crevices where like a kid could fall and get hidden or lost. They were like, it's more than likely that he was walked out of that school by someone.
Yeah.
But Stu, that's where we're at. That's all I've got for you.
Well, baby, you left me with another Dr. Phil interview that you know I'm going to watch immediately after we hang up.
Oh, I'm kind of shocked, actually. I mean, I know Nancy Grace by 2010 was still in full force, but this feels like a case that she would attack. She would sink her teeth into it.
Actually, when you sent me that second photo where I was like, wow, she like this is a different era for Terry. Mm-hmm. All I kept envisioning was like this, imagining Nancy interviewing her on live television, that side by side.
She would ask all the questions and in a row, too. Like no breaks, no time to answer.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But creepers, that is the story of Kyron. To this day, he still remains a missing person. In fact, I think for a long time, even maybe till now, they haven't even categorized his case as a child abduction because they still don't have concrete evidence that that took place, which is wild. I'm sorry, Stu. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, baby.
Kyron, I'm sorry. I need to click off of his photo of him with the presentation.
He looks like such a sweet kid. It makes me so sad that he was caught.
I feel so bad for his parents.
I mean, they really have joined forces, even his stepfather, too. I mean, as like a joint unit, even to this day, I think they've assumed that Kyron probably isn't with us anymore, but they just want answers as to what happened on that day and where she put him, if that's what happened. But she's just roaming free. She's down in Florida.
Well, I hope that someday something changes and that the parents get some sort of closure, because the idea that it happened, did we just cover something where something happened in like a split second? Oh, well, I guess the Freeway Phantom.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. I literally was like, what was his nickname? I was thinking like Freelance Phantom. I was like, that's definitely not right. Freeway Phantom.
No, that's a thrift shop I'm opening somewhere out in Idaho next summer.
But like, the idea, I think, for a parent that something happened, like we were saying with those little girls, split second, something changed. Split second, something changed here for Kyron's life. And I just think that's really got to be so hard to imagine as a parent, like go through and repeat that in your head of like, what could I have done differently in those 15 minutes? Even if I know that the mom wasn't even there and the dad wasn't there. But it's like, my God, in those 15 minutes, the course of my child's life completely changed and or came to an end. And like, that's just, I hope that for their sake, they get some sort of closure.
Yeah, I'm sure that I agree with you. I'm sure the school even feels a sense of guilt as well. Like maybe the teachers that they weren't more suspicious about his absence, or the secretaries that even though they had this note, maybe they could have called the parent to see like, if he was going to be back home. I mean, the whole thing was shocking to me that there's no cameras in any capacity in the school. That seems crazy. At least at the entrance, like you have to be able to see like who's coming and going.
I know, especially again, I'll say that it's 2010. Like if it was like 1990, I could maybe, you know, reconcile that. But 2010, it does feel very, very odd.
Yeah, very low security situation. So in order for this to go off without a hitch and go off as fast as it went off, I believe it had to have been orchestrated by somebody who knew that school system very well, which I would assume is Terry. And that's all I'll say about that. So before we get our cease and desist, I'm going to wrap up this episode. Thank you, Sue, for listening to this case. Although it is unsolved, I still hold out hope for this one as well, because it's not that long ago. And I think with increased awareness and more people hearing the name, because I had not heard this name, I hadn't heard very much about this case before, I do think that there could be a breaking point for maybe one of two of the people who might be involved. And somebody might say something.
Oh, I sure hope so. Was this a creeper suggestion, by the way?
It was not. I led this whole thing and I was like, we have so many case suggestions to get through, but today we're doing one that nobody suggested. I was like, why did I set it up like that? What's wrong with me?
Creepers, he's just dangling the carrot.
Literally, I was like, God, I was like, I even laid it on thick. I was like, and every suggestion is better than the last. But today we'll be doing something I'm picking. Oh, listen, creepers.
We have so
I'm
many
sorry.
Suggestions. We'll get to them, I swear, y'all. Stick with
no,
us.
No, it's we'll truly be in no short supply of cases to talk about ever. I mean, and it's we even, you know, recover cases. We've looked at, you know, things that have seen solves decades down the line. So I do have faith that we'll come back to this case. And creepers, yes, we will cover your suggestions. We will look at those cases as well, which is actually, I think, the one that we're going to record after this, our premium episode, I think, is a creeper suggestion. So maybe you guys will have to stick around for that.
We'll get premium.
You just go in the distance. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, with that, guys, we're going to catch you on the next one. But for now, we're going to say goodbye.
And good luck, y'all.
Catch you on the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye, creepers.